everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, and I'm your host. I'm just getting my banner up. I forgot a couple of steps, things I'd usually do in advance, so I'm ready. I was just too busy, worried about Christmas stuff. Okay, my banner and Wintu Radio is up. So, if you are listening live, I want to welcome you. It is the 16th of December at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that I am over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. That's number 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. And if you do that, then you can see my banner there at the top of the page. You will need to join the group. It's a private group. Once you do that, you'll see my banner there, and you can come and chat. However, if you'd rather watch than listen, you can watch the live stream by heading over to heading over to Facebook or YouTube and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find my live stream. I also did put a link to the live stream in the chat room, so it's there for you. Well, that's a mouthful. How's it going? How are you guys? How's your weekend? Everybody good? Christmas is in a little more than a week, so I hope y'all are ready or getting close to it. I feel like I'm as ready right now as I have ever been this close to Christmas. Like, practically everything is wrapped. Almost everything is made. It's wild, but I'm getting there. You know what? I want to ask Scott. I just realized I wanted to show you something and I forgot. Let me see if I send him a message, if he'll get it. I'm going to share a present that is made for my sister, only because I know she doesn't have time for this show. And something I made for my aunt. Some little mugs I made for my aunt that are kind of fun. Do you guys remember the sunbonnet girl motif? Actually, you know what? I'm just going to mute myself real quick. Okay, there we go. I just didn't want to yell in your ears. He's only in the other room. But anyway, do you remember Sunbonnet Girl? That was such a motif, like, back in the 70s. And my mom's mom, she had a whole bunch of the Sunbonnet Girl motifs that she had embroidered onto fabric that I'm guessing were eventually going to be a part of, like, quilt blocks, maybe. And apparently that was a real theme in her house at the time. And so after she died, my aunt found all these, like I said, I think probably quilt blocks, and gave us all sets of those for Christmas one year, which was just really fun. And so now that motif has kind of just become a thing. Well, in this new set of molds that we bought for recently for slip casting, there was a mug set that has the sunbonnet girl. Try and get rid of the glare. Look at her. Isn't that cute? And they're just these little kind of dainty little teacups. Aren't they darling? So I had to make them for her. So these are for my aunt for Christmas. I think she's going to love them. Anyway, kind of fun. But also, Kara has gotten way into her espresso machine this year. Just bought a new one and asked for espresso cups for Christmas. So, of course, we had to make her a set. So, this is how they turned out. Aren't they gorgeous? You want to give me the other one? Oh, we put a surprise in one of them for her. You'll just have to... Scott won't let me show you, so I guess you'll just have to figure it out. But anyway, didn't they turn out pretty? I'm so excited to wrap those up for her. All right. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. This is indecency for YouTube. You'll have to decide what you think that is. Okay. There you go. Anyway, so that's one of some of the stuff I've been making and working on, but yeah, I'm really happy with the way these turned out. The glaze is just gorgeous. So, interestingly, it's not what we were going for. The glaze was supposed to be a little different than that, but it's what we got. So, here we are. Yeah, Holly Hobby. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly the Holly Hobby was Sunbonnet Girl or Sunbonnet Girl's Holly Hobby. Hell, I don't know. But anyway, so that's some of the fun stuff I've been doing. But I'm very excited for Christmas for a lot of stuff that we have done this year. But I've been wrapping up ornaments. Oh my goodness. A good friend of mine and her daughter ordered 75 sublimated ornaments from me, which is a lot. It's cool. It's great. It's been a lot of work. They're all personalized, so they send me a huge file of photos that then I create designs for and pop them into and then print them and press them and, the whole nine yards. So that's been a lot of work, but I actually, before this show, was just putting ribbons on them and now I'm sorting out what goes to who and I'm going to put those in the mail today. And I think that's my last Christmas order. I shipped some mugs out yesterday. And I think that's it for me on special orders this year. So that's good too because well, we're getting down to go time. But here's the real go time. Mars is graduating from Boise State on Saturday with her bachelor's in political science. What a time to be alive. This is a lot of what our brain space is going to this week because we are hosting a meal at the kids' house afterwards. And so, we're going down, and my sisters and their families will all be there. And the kids have a pretty vast friend group. So, and of course, we were like, invite whoever you want. So it looks like we're going to be feeding around 30. So, and that's fine, but we're smoking meat. One thing Scott has always wanted is to have a good smoker or grill at the kids' house because when we go down there, they want their dad to cook for them. It's not even. Like, I'll take them to a cool new restaurant they've wanted to go to or things like that. But moreover, they want to eat at home. They want their dad to cook for them and they want to play Catan. That's the thing these days. So, he shipped a smoker to their house. So they'll now have a smoker and grill for us to play with down there. But anyway, so we're smoking meat and we're buying the bread and the cake because, my gosh, there's only so much we can do. But we're also making jalapeno poppers on the grill. We're making Hasselback potatoes and these fancy carrots that we had last time we were in Jackson. So, anyway, it's kind of a big deal, but it's going to be fine. We've done things like this a million times. I am so proud. It's so exciting. Yeah, awesome. So, her plan is to study and be ready to take the LSAT. She's been studying for like a year, but to be ready to take the LSAT in February. And then finish her applications for law school and hopefully start law school in the fall. We'll see. That's the plan as of now, and it'll be Idaho or Montana. She really wants to go to Montana, but their tuition is double Idaho's. So that's the conversation. Do you go live in Montana and work for a year and get a residency? Unfortunately, she did live and work in Montana for 9 months, and we didn't even think about her getting residency because she was still a student at Boise State online, so she wasn't. So, but I think that's what she would have to do. But it just depends on what they'll give her. When you apply, they take a look at your whole application and your grades and your LSAT scores and your accomplishments and all the things, and they make you an offer. And then that's the offer you have for all 3 years of law school as far as a scholarship is concerned. So part of it really just depends on which school gives her the most money and what makes the most sense. So I don't know where she's going to end up, but my gut feeling is that it'll be Idaho because she can stay in Boise. She can still live with her siblings. Her rent there is agreeable, and law school is a full-time job. She'll be able to work a little bit on the weekends, and that's it. So, I feel like she probably financially is just really going to have to do Idaho, but, and it's not a bad school. She just, her heart's in Montana. So, it's okay. It's fine, but Lots of big decisions for her coming up, but exciting stuff. I wanted to do a show today about winter solstice because it's coming right up. So, if you already received Luminous, you've already seen the theme of this show, but I'm going to put a link in both chat rooms for you. So, and as far as like holiday programming, just so you know, I am intending on doing a show next week. I won't do a show the next week. So next week will be my last show of 2025. It'll be my last Luminous of 2025. And then the next week will, then I'll take a week off, and then the next week will kick into gear. So I'm just going to take 1 week off. But it's good every once in a while to kind of take a minute, reset, regroup, lay on the couch, whatever. Let's take a look at Luminous. Just so you know, I am going to do meditation, winter solstice meditation, a little bit later in the show. So if that's something you want to do, you probably want to be in a spot where you can. So this is your heads up. Okay. So, of course, this edition is called The Enchantment of the Winter Solstice. I'm excited for the solstice. It's interesting here. We don't have any snow. We had a little bit for a few days and then it melted. The sun is shining bright. We're getting into like mid 40s, low 50s every day. Scott and I drove to Montana over the weekend and there was hardly any snow, even up like into Yellowstone. Hardly any snow. It is weird. Does that mean we're just going to get hammered in January? Are we even going to have a white Christmas? I have no idea. There's good sides and bads, you know. The day we had snow, our sheriff's office reported on Facebook that they responded to 33 accidents. 33! My God, people slow down! Most of you know how to drive on slick roads that live here. Anyway, so maybe we don't deserve snow. I don't know. But oh, are you? Tara said they're getting hammered this week. Interesting. It looks like we're going to have some rainy, sleety stuff later in the week, but not really snow. But maybe, you know, things could change. So who knows? Kind of crazy. But I can live with it either way. All right. Wanted to talk about some ideas for the winter solstice, you know, per always, but as you know, ancient cultures have been celebrating the solstice in some way and in some terminology for eons. One of the things we know is Stonehenge. These massive stones at Stonehenge frame the winter sunrise. They illuminate the center of the circle as the sun comes up. It's pretty amazing. And if you go to YouTube and look, there is a group who films the sunrise over Stonehenge during the solstices. And it's a really cool thing to witness. So if that's something that you're thinking about, go over to YouTube and find them. And you can watch that in real time. It's pretty freaking cool. In Ireland, oh, I want to pull up a picture of this. In Ireland, there is want to show you. Okay. In Newgrange, in Ireland, there is a narrow roof box that allows the rising solstice sun to pour into burial mounds. So I showed you a picture. This is really cool. And I'd never heard about this before until I did some research today. It illuminates the carvings that remain hidden for the rest of the year. What? How amazing is that? I did not look for a video of that, but I really wonder if we'd find one if we looked. So I'm going to hunt around. I just think that's amazing. So for just a few minutes, light enters the dark and shows a deliberate and breathtaking design. What? How cool is that? I don't know if you guys have seen that before or heard of that before. You probably have, and I'm just the dork amongst us, but isn't that amazing? All right, we know that here in the Americas, the Puebloans mark the solstice with sun daggers carved into stone. In Mesoamerica, the Maya tracked solar cycles through pyramids and temples, as we know. And their understanding of the sun was a divine presence and a life-giving force. We know that they knew that the darkness wouldn't last, that the sun would come back, and they honored that. In modern times, we take that 100% for granted and don't do a damn thing, and it happens anyway, which is okay. But I also love the idea of honoring the light. We also know this is the time of Yule. The winter solstice across most of Europe was, back in our ancient times, celebrated as Yule, and in some places still is. This was a festival that was centered on fire, renewal, and communal warmth. So bonfires were lit to call back the sun. The idea of a winter bonfire really speaks to my soul. When I was a kid, my dad would make us go ice fishing. Now, he thought it was the funnest thing. He loved to ice fish. As little girls, we hated it a lot because it was cold as hell. And he'd take us to a place called Ashton Reservoir, that is a reservoir not that far from us, that it would freeze with a big, thick, heavy layer of ice. We were safe. And then he'd have his ice auger thing that he'd cut holes in the ice to fish. And he had lots of little poles. You could fish if you wanted to. We mostly were freezing to death, but one thing he would do is start a fire. And I can remember how much I loved that part of ice fishing, being able to sit around the little fire and at least pretend like you were trying to stay warm. Winter fires, I just think, are there's something really special about that. Now I could probably do a fire this year and not even be in the snow, but we also know that homes were adorned with evergreens, pine, fir, holly. Those were symbols of endurance and life that could survive the cold. You know, like a wreath or a Christmas tree or boughs of holly. There was, of course, as well, the Yule log. The Yule log was a powerful symbol of protection and blessing. Burning a Yule log was believed to safeguard your home, ensure abundance, and carry light into the coming year. The Yule log was a special piece of your celebration. And of course, feasting, right? People cooked. They cooked big feasts and ate together because that's what we do as human beings, right? We eat together. First of all, everyone has to eat to live. But also, there's something about eating that evokes community. Now, at some point, solstice and Yule, in most places, transitioned to Christmas as we know it now. Solstice traditions weren't really erased, they were just woven into new forms. Christmas, the current Christmas, and this was based on. Oh, good Lord, I can't say his name now. This was based on a ruler, an English ruler, who decided that we were just going to roll them all together into one package. We weren't going to have solstice or Christmas anymore, we were going to have one thing. So, Christmas was placed near the solstice, aligning the birth of Christ with the return of the light. And some people, depending on their religious leanings, might find a lot of benefit out of both of those beliefs, and some one or the other. But the evergreen trees, they became Christmas trees. Candles remained central to both. Wreaths echoed the solar imagery, but also the evergreens. Feasting, gift giving, and generosity, Those were things that already happened during the solstice, and they carried forward into modern day Christmas. We decorate, we cook special meals, we gather as families or as groups, and we participate in this ritual that is a lot older than a lot of people realize. So, how do you mark the solstice? There's so many things you could do, but I have a few ideas for you that you may or may not be drawn to, but these are things that you could easily do at home that would just help to double down on the coziness of the day, I think. How about a solstice simmer pot? Simmer pots have gotten to be popular again. These used to be potpourri pots. Remember those? They were like little tiny crock pots, and you would buy the potpourri stuff for it and put it inside and add your water and turn it on, and it would just heat in a corner of your home somewhere. It's kind of. I remember having these like back in the 90s, and I think my mom probably had them before that. But I used to love those. I like those a lot better than candles. Candles, I like burning candles for magic. I don't burn candles or like scented candles all the time. My lungs don't like it. But a simmer pot is essential oils, it's natural items. You can get away with a simmer pot usually. So you could do this in a little crock pot. You could do this on your stove. But you're going to add water to a pot with orange slices or other dried citrus, cinnamon sticks, cloves or star anise, a sprig of pine or rosemary, and anything else that you want to put in it. And as it warms, you can just let this simmer all day. Don't let your water run out and it'll burn and stink. But once it starts simmering, you turn it way, way down and just let this simmer on the back of your stove or on your fireplace if you're lucky enough to have one. Or, like I said, in a little crock pot. You could do it lots of ways. But your simmer pot just fills your home up with a fragrance that feels like safety. It feels like comfort. Maybe it feels like Christmas. It feels like solstice. And you could get really intentional with the things that go in it. In the spirit of plant magic, or just magic in general, you could get really creative with this. I'm going to leave that up to you. Oh, Sherry says she does this a lot. Oranges, cinnamon, and apples. Then she eats the cooked apples. Oh, that's a great idea. Very cool, Sherry. I like this. So, as you get your pot simmering. Just set an intention for the returning of the light, for peace, clarity, rest, and renewal. How about a Yule log? Most of us don't have a fireplace that you could throw a log into. Some of us have a fire pit, but maybe you wouldn't be accessing that this time of year. I think a lot of us don't really have a way to burn a Yule log that is all that readily available. So, I have an alternative for you. Take a small log or branch. This could be anything that you find in your yard or in the park or down by the river or wherever. Decorate it with twine, greenery, dried herbs, whatever you want to decorate it with. If you want to just take some twine and put greenery on it and some herbs and just wrap it around it a few times, if you want to get more ornate. You decide what it looks like. And then write a word or a wish or an affirmation of some sort for the upcoming season for yourself. And you may choose to do one for the world as well, or a family member, or you decide you are the architect. And take that paper and tuck it underneath your log, and then put it on a table or a hearth space or on your altar or wherever you want it, and just light a candle beside it on solstice night. Obviously, you don't want your candle to ignite with your log, so be wise, but just let the candle burn. The focus isn't really the burning, it's just the intention behind it. And then with that log, if you wanted to dry it and save it till next year, you could. If you want to just return it to the earth, take the twine apart maybe and return it to the earth and do it again next year, you totally could do that too. And how about a solstice meal? What if on the solstice you just planned a little special meal? You don't have to invite 30 people, you know? You could just do something for yourself or for your family, or you could invite a few friends if you really wanted to. That's up to you. But ancient solstice meals honored what could be preserved and shared. So by December, what are we eating? Root vegetables or squash, breads or grain-baked dishes, soup, stews, slow-cooked foods, apples, nuts, dried fruit. Cook something that's kind of a return to the land type of meal. I would think a stew along with a loaf of bread or homemade bread would be very adequate for this. But I kind of like the idea of roasting a squash too. But those are all simple ways that you could mark the solstice, you know, without knocking yourself completely out, but also doing some special things. Don't ever forget that the sky that you stand under is the same sky that your ancestors stood under. It's the same earth that you tread, that they tread. It's the same water that you drink, that they drank. We're not that different. We're still deeply connected. And they too watched the earth get darker and darker and quieter and quieter, and then start lightening again. The same cycles exist that have for centuries. I think there's something kind of special about that. When you look at the stars and you know that your ancestors, they looked at these stars too. And if you have a belief in past lives, so did you. In a different incarnation, in a different time. So we honor the turning of the wheel. And as you know, even with that shortest day of the year, the light's going to start finding its way back immediately. Even by mid-January, we'll say, I'm noticing it's staying light longer. By February, we'll say, it's staying light a lot longer. By March, we'll say, when is this snow going to melt? Because it feels like spring. I suppose our ancestors bitched about the weather too. I just think that's probably true. So those are a few thoughts for you for the winter solstice. And I would be really curious to know, Chatters, what else you do or what you're planning on doing this year or what you've done in the past that you thought was kind of cool. I would love to hear it. Kelly's Re-Feminist History article this week and podcast episode, if you want to go listen, is about the women who built Christmas, whether you know them or not. Wait a minute. Women built Christmas? Well, sure they did, right? Of course they did. But who gets credit for that? Well, it's never the women, right? But women are out there organizing everything. They're out there buying gifts. They're out there cooking food. I mean, that we know. But what else? So her article focuses on three women. Harriet Martineau. She was a writer, political economist, social scientist or sociologist, and cozy culture influencer back in the 1800s. Really interesting story about Harriet. And then Marie Noel. Hope as Resistance. Marie was a poet whose name means Christmas. And she wrote poems of hope during really, really dark times during World War II. Really interesting story about her as well. Joanne Robinson. Joanne Robinson was a professor and the president of the Women's Political Council in Montgomery, Alabama. And she is deeply connected to Christmas, but also to the human rights movement, civil rights movement. And then Mrs. Claus, what about her? You think she really was just baking cookies? I don't think so. There was all kinds of shit she was in the middle of. We never hear about it because we're too busy hearing about Santa Claus. Absolutely love it, Kelly. Loved your article. Tara says she had friends that often host a solstice fire as long as the weather cooperates. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. All right, my tip this week, and this has been my tip of the week during the solstice for years, but here we are. This is a period of rest and renewal. It's time to select your books. A novel for fun, an autobiography for inspiration, and an educational book to feed your brain. I have a pile of novels. I've got to think about an autobiography and an educational book. I don't know. I really got my wheels turning today. What do I want to learn more about? What do I need to study? So, next week, our last show of the year, I would like for us to choose a book club book, if you're interested. I thought it would be really fun to choose a book during the solstice that we all read. And we'll start in January, and then we can discuss it on the show each week during the solstice. And maybe it's just a chapter or two a week. You don't have to go crazy. I know you're all busy, but I thought this might be fun. So if you're interested in that, let me know. If you have any suggestions of a book that would be awesome for us to read, let me know. And next Tuesday, we'll hammer it out and choose a book. That way, you'll have plenty of time to get your hands on said book before we start in January. So be thinking about it, but also be thinking about what you're going to read over the solstice. I have been devouring novels this entire year. I haven't even looked at my Kindle for a number, but I'll tell you, it's a lot. Between what I've read and listened to, it's a lot. But they're all novels. Now I gotta think about autobiography, educational. This will be good for me. So let me know what you're reading. Tara wants to write. Good for you. Me too, but my brain doesn't. My spirit does. My brain never wants to slow down enough to write, but maybe this year. Who knows? Okay. Christy's energy exercise is a Gaia grounding over at True Crime Squad. Well, there's plenty of crime. There's the conclusion of the Brian Walsh trial that wrapped up yesterday. But if you like true crime, but it's a little too much for you sometimes, this show at the bottom, when the animals become the criminals, you will get a kick out of. It's not heavy, it's not hard. It's about times that animals have done some pretty wild stuff. Not a single one of them got arrested, though. Rest assured. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And also just easy listening holiday music as well over there. And that's it for Luminous this week. So hopefully you found something that, resonated with you. Oh, Tara's gonna start with a song. I love it. That's an awesome idea. Very cool. So, do you have a theme in mind? You got something rolling around in your head? I'll bet you do. I love this. I can't wait to see what you do. And also, are you equipped to perform it, or are you writing it for somebody else to perform? How does this work? Inquiring minds want to know. Alrighty. Well, let's. Let's get on with our meditation. Just checking a couple of things here. Okay. Oh, it's going to be a Christmas present for your dad and his girlfriend he's trying to get back together with. Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. So just so you know, and you don't have to do this, of course, but for True Crime Squad, we write a lot of songs. In fact, that episode I just talked about where the animals committed the crimes, that was an entire musical. Every single story we told was accompanied with a song. And we write them and then we take them over to Sunu to like produce the music part of them. And that's super, super easy. And the quality is crazy good. So, anyway, if that's helpful to you, great. If it's not, don't worry about it. But that's worth it. It's Suno, Suno. Oh, she's an astrologer. Oh, fun. Yeah, keep it in mind. Yes. Or I don't know if you have to have a subscription. If you have, we have one. But if you have to have a subscription, Tara, just reach out to me and I'll help you do it. If you want me to, I'm seriously overstepping here, but I could help you. To be honest, I just have so much fun playing with that. In fact, our meditation today, I had put it together over there. I really struggled to get it to do spoken word. And so I tried a different prompt today and got the meditation up in spoken word, and I hated it. So I decided, nah, I'm going to perform it myself. Yeah, I don't. The spoken word just, I don't know. I didn't hate it. I thought you guys might hate it. But then again, what do I know? Oh, Sherry said her book is A Murder Mystery by Caroline Fardig. Ellie Matthews novel series. Okay. Love. I have been reading, gosh, I wish, oh, I have my phone. I'll tell you. An author that I have really, really liked this year. Should have done this beforehand. You know how when you need to get something off your phone, you suddenly completely forget how to use a phone? Yeah. Elizabeth Hunter. Love her. So I had read a series from her earlier this year that I really liked. And then just recently, well, I don't know, this last 5 months or so, picked up another series from her. It's the Force of Wind series. I absolutely love her stuff. It is so good. And now Scott and I are both addicted to the Force of Wind series. So now we're only listening to it on Audible when we're in the car, because otherwise I just tear through books and he only hears parts of them because, you know, he's busy doing other things and I'm listening to my books while I do my own stuff. And so he only gets bits and pieces. So now this book is now just limited only to car rides, or if we're like, you know, working on a project together that we can turn it on. But Elizabeth Hunter, I have loved. I will definitely, when I'm done with this series, listen to her or read more of her stuff. She's awesome. Hello, Suzanne. Good to have you here as well. Okay, well let me get set up here for our meditation. Okay, so per always, I'm going to start the music and just ask you guys to let me know how the sound is. Makes me crazy for it to be too loud. But I also want you to be able to hear it. So tell me, is that too quiet? This is on 20. I need to really remember the number that works, but maybe the music varies too. I guess that doesn't always work. I'd rather just ask. So, how How is the music here? Is it too loud? Is it not loud enough? I would like for you to be able to really hear it because it's sounds good. Okay, perfect. We'll go with it. Okay. All righty. Find a comfortable position. Let your body be supported by the chair, the floor, the bed beneath you. There's nothing you need to hold right now. Take a slow, deep breath in through your nose. Release it gently through your mouth. And again, inhale, letting the breath fill your chest and belly. And exhale, softening your shoulders, your jaw, your hands. Allow your eyes to close if that feels more comfortable. Now, imagine that you are standing outside on a quiet winter night. The air is cold but calm. The sky above you is deep and dark, scattered with distant stars. This is the longest night of the year. There is no rush here, no expectation, only stillness. Feel the ground beneath your feet, solid, steady, ancient. The earth knows this moment well. The earth has held this place for centuries. With each breath, allow your body to sink just a little deeper into rest. Now, notice the darkness around you, not as something to fear, but as something that holds you. The dark is not empty. It is quiet. It is protective. It is full of possibility. If there is anything you've been carrying, worry, exhaustion, disappointment, imagine placing it gently into the earth. You don't need to solve it tonight. You are allowed to set it down and just breathe. In the darkness, in the distance, you notice a small light, a single flame. It is steady and calm, not demanding your attention, simply present. This flame represents the returning of the light. It doesn't rush. It doesn't overwhelm. It grows slowly, exactly as it should. As you focus on this flame, feel a gentle warmth begin to spread through your body. It moves through your chest, your belly, your hands, and your feet. This warmth is hope, quiet and patient. It arrives without requiring anything from you. Now, place one hand over your heart. Ask yourself softly, what does my soul need as the light returns? You don't need words, a feeling, an image, or a simple knowing is enough. Whatever comes is welcome. Hold that intention gently, like an ember cupped in your hands. You do not need to protect it fiercely. You don't need to do anything right now. Just allow it to exist. Now, as this meditation begins to close, return your awareness to your breath. Notice the rise and fall of your body, the steady rhythm that carries you forward. Know this: you have made it through the dark. You are allowed to rest. The light will continue to return, one moment at a time. Now, when you're ready, gently wiggle your fingers and toes. Open your eyes slowly. Carry this calm with you. The wheel has turned, and so have you. And there we are. Isn't that music sweet? I love it. Okay. You still might need to move a little bit, stretch a little bit. And of course, this live stream and archive will be posted. So if you ever want to go back to that and listen to it again, you certainly can. Like maybe on Sunday. JR, yeah, I still have my drums and singing bowls. We still do singing bowls here every once in a while. Not as much as we should. Yeah. Drumming is a great way to celebrate the solstice, too. I love that. Okay. Well, guys, that's what I've got. You're so welcome, Renee. I loved that. I think I will, too. I will be back next week. Same place, same time. In the meantime, don't forget that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And you can find me over there every day. If you need to talk to me and I'm not there, just do a callback request or a scheduled call. And I'll get an email that you're waiting on me. Or a text and an email, but I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. You can call me on the lines there. You can do a chat through our chat service. You can do an email reading. So there's lots of easy ways to connect depending on your comfort level, budget, whatever you want to work on. But I would love to connect. I'm a professional psychic advisor, I am a medium, an animal communicator. I do a lot of energy work over there too. So if I can help you out, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll see you back here next week. Thanks, you guys, so much. Please take good care of yourselves. You're worth it. Do good things for you while you're in the midst of doing good things for others. You also deserve good things. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world.